kids that come to our camp, you know, I tell them, I'm like, look, if we're in there to see you, we watch you from the second you get out of your car, the second you get back in your car. You know, we're watching how you treat your parents. We're watching what you do pregame. We're watching what you eat at the concession stand. You know, all those things, they're all important.
No good player has ever said, well, who else is going to be the shortstop? The best players just say, sign who you want. I'm going to beat them, right?
And the other thing for baseball players, if you want to be a great baseball player and play at the highest levels, then be an athlete first.
Hello and welcome to the Coach's Corner podcast, where the coaches hang out with Walter. Today's podcast is brought to you by the Baseball Blue Book. If it has to do with baseball, it has to be in the book. The question for you, are you in the book? Now let's join our host, Walter Beattie. Hello and welcome another edition, a 2024 edition of the Coach's Corner. I want to say Happy New Year to everyone just returning from Dallas at the ABCA. And before we get started here, I want to encourage everyone that finds their way to the podcast or here to the YouTube and social media channels to go ahead and hit subscribe. Noticing a lot of people listening slash watching, but they are not subscribers. It's free. Doesn't cost you any money. We're not here to sell anything, but really would like to focus on growth. Both Coach Serrano and I are really excited about the new year. And joining us today is a Big East conference head baseball coach at Butler University, Blake Beamer. And I'm really excited about today's interview. And thank you, Blake, for joining me today.
No, thank you for having me. I'm excited.
Well, I mean, this is, I spent some time in Dallas, our paths probably crossed, and somebody had brought your name up, and I said, you know, I really haven't had an opportunity to introduce myself or spend any time, and I'm glad we're getting to do that here today. I've actually been on your campus. My son has participated at various games with the couple of Ohio and Indiana programs. So I'm really excited. And I would love for you to tell folks a little about your coaching background, which I know includes Penn State and Eastern Illinois. But as a head coach now, your second year, I believe, at Butler.
Yes, sir.
What can you share with us a little bit about Butler baseball?
Yeah, so Butler University, we are just north of Indianapolis. We're technically in the Indianapolis greater city limits, but we're not downtown. So about 12 minutes north of the city. It's a small private school of about 6,000 kids, and it's a beautiful campus, and it's a really, really competitive baseball environment. As you know, the Big East is a really good conference. UConn has been really good. Xavier's coming off a regional, and Creighton plays in Omaha. And so the fun part here is, man, we get to try and build the program up in a conference that can be a multiple bid league in terms of the regional. I apologize for that. And from the baseball standpoint, man, there's good baseball in this area. The state of Indiana has good high school baseball. Our surrounding states, you can get up to Chicago, Columbus, Cincinnati, St. Louis, all with a relatively easy drive. And then the degree that Butler provides, U.S. News and World Report had us as the number one Midwest institution in the country. So it lets us get a national brand coming off of the basketball success in 2010, 2011. The brand is really strong right now. It's a really fun time to be around Butler.
Well, I have to tell you that, you know, when you people that I grew up at the Big East, so it's not, doesn't quite look the same. But when you start talking about Coach Blankmeyer back in the day, St. John's has great baseball. We have Jim Penders. We have great coaches, Creighton, Xavier. So it's a highly competitive conference. I think a lot of parents and student athletes alike sometimes get so consumed by these bigger conferences that they really fail to, or maybe they overlook slightly, you know, schools such as Butler. And you mentioned Indiana, you know, for well over a decade, Indiana, I think last year, Indiana State. I mean, it's a very fertile baseball area.
No doubt.
Within your roster, you have a pretty diverse group. You have Florida, California, Indiana, obviously, Illinois. Talk to me a little bit about your recruiting with regard to portal transfers, JUCO, et cetera, and the high school student athlete.
Yeah, I think this year you'll see that it was, we brought in 23 new guys, and it's pretty much dead split, 12 high school, 11 transfer. In the transfer, we had six portal guys, five junior college. So it's a very balanced recruiting effort. I would say going forward, if we were going to lean one way, we'll probably lean towards a high school recruit just because the academic side at Butler, it's easy to lose credits if you're trying to transfer in. And so that makes a transfer candidate a little tougher. And it's just not quite as easy when you're transferring into a school with the academic regard that Butler has, that it's not always apples to apples, at least in our administration's eyes. And for us, the ability to get out, we've done well in California with our recruiting. We've got the Big East Freshman of the Year last year. Joey Urban is from Florida. And so able to pull a kid like that who's talented. It really starts in just knowing that, man, there's good baseball everywhere, and we can't be afraid to go find it. We can't be afraid to utilize our resources and our connections and to build new connections. And I think that's the fun part is we're meeting coaches all the time. The world's a smaller and smaller place. Thanks to guys like you getting our brand out, getting the word out, and it might lead to a high school coach or a summer coach saying, hey, we've got a guy that is either overlooked or, hey, he's got options, but he wants the academic. He wants to be in a competitive conference. There's a lot of perks that a place like Butler has that, man, nationally, everybody's going to want to do be at a place like that. And so we're not afraid to go anywhere to find the best fit for us.
Well, that's exactly why Coach Serrano and I are really promoting, you know, college baseball in the capacity that we do. We want to bring awareness to schools such as Butler, not only to families, but as you alluded to, youth and high school coaches. Talk to me a little bit about being a new, you know, last year, your first year as a head coach, you're building a new culture, a new program. Talk to me about the culture. What are some of your priorities at Butler as far as the team itself?
Absolutely. I'll start by saying I was not a good head coach last year. Understand that. I am learning every day and hopefully getting better at it every day. But from the culture standpoint, I say this a lot, but I feel it to the core of me. It's like a house, and it's going to start with relationships. You're going to build a foundation of relationships, and that takes time. I think that's the piece that we all want yesterday. We want to be able to have a good culture yesterday. We want to win games yesterday. We want to graduate guys yesterday. And like the world and kids, right? Like, and I am in the same generation. I grew up with a cell phone just like they did. And so I'm not putting this on kids in high school. I'm part of the problem. But we have access to so much information at our fingertips, and we're able to get answers to things that we want everything so fast, like the microwave society where, man, to be intentional about building relationships, that takes time. It takes being real with people. It takes being vulnerable with people, with our guys every day. And it's not a once a month thing, once a semester. Like, we have to be real and genuine every day to build that type of relationship. And so it's going to take time, but our culture starts with relationships, player to coach, coach to coach, player to player. Support staff to player, all that. It's all intertwined, and we've got to be really good about building our people the right way. I think that's the first thing. And so if you have a foundation built on the relationships, I think you're going to have a chance. I think that beyond that, you got to have integrity, right? Like your structure, you have to have a support beams of integrity, of work ethic and of toughness. I think, man, you get somebody who knows doing the right thing, no matter who's watching. You get somebody who's not afraid to work and somebody who's tough, man, that's a pretty good walls to build your house on, right? And I think those are things that they're across the board. And then we like to talk about loyalty in there. And so if you have four things, man, we want somebody who's disciplined, who's tough, who's loyal, and isn't afraid to work. And so put those as our walls, and then, man, attitude and effort. because if you got a roof, you cover yourself with attitude and effort, it's going to make up a lot of ills. If you have the right attitude, the right effort in everything we do, we're going to be all right. And so our culture, man, built on relationships with tough, loyal, hardworking guys that give us the right attitude and the right effort. But the thing is that it takes being intentional every day. And so we're still building it. And I say, how are we building it, man? Doing small groups with our guys, letting our guys get to know us as coaches, us getting to know our guys on a deeper level, our guys getting to know each other, our guys seeing at practice every day, our coaching staff having the same effort and enthusiasm every single day. Because I promise you, I've never worked a day in my life. I am so fortunate and so blessed. And if you only come around one time, I don't know if you understand that I mean it when I say that. But, man, you see it every day, and you see our staff get after our guys every day. You're going to start to realize, okay, this is who they are. This is what we're about. But it takes time. And so we're still building. I don't know if you've ever figured it out from a culture standpoint, but I know we're doing everything we can to try to make sure we get this place rolling the way it should be.
Certainly love the enthusiasm and the focus. That's clear to hear in your tone and in your message. With regard to recruiting, it used to be camps were more of the grad assistant or the volunteer assistant. You know, the volleys had to make a little money, and so you ran a lot of camps or extra camps. Now they've really become a foundation piece to, you know, student athlete identification and recruiting. Can you talk a little bit about camps at Butler, maybe when they're held, and do you utilize them as a recruiting tool?
Absolutely. And so I am a product of the camp environment. I was a recruited walk-on to Ball State, and I didn't have a place to go. I hadn't made my decision on where to go. I had a junior college offer and a NAA offer as a senior in high school going into February of my senior year. And I was fortunate enough, I performed well at a camp and was fortunate to be a walk-on to Ball State after that. So I understand the value that camps provide. At Butler, what we try to do is we do a prospect camp in August, basically right around the start of our school. We do one in October. Both those are outside, or at least weather permitting, we're outside. And then we do a hitting and pitching indoor prospect camp in January, right after Martin Luther King weekend. And then we're probably going to do our first one in July as well. And the July one will be a smaller, more of a skills instruction camp, just with the focus of, we'd love to identify guys in our July camp, but we understand with all the games being played in the summer, with all the showcases guys are already going to in the summer, it's just a chance for guys to get on our campus. But we try to get, if you come to our camp, you will go through what it's like to be at Butler for a day. You get a visit, you get to interact with our guys. We have about half of our team works the camp. You're doing a lot of drill work as well as showcasing yourself. I tell guys, if you come to our hitting prospect camp, you will swing till you bleed. You're going to get swings. You're going to get reps. It's not just going to be come take 8 swings and go stand in line and get 5 swings off a tee and get an exit velo. You're going to get drills that I think you can take to help you get better as a hitter and as a baseball player. We try to make sure that we maximize people's time and respect people's time for coming over. And it includes the recruiting Q&A. And so we do about 45 minutes of talking the recruiting process as well as a tour of campus. And so we try to make it all inclusive when we have those camps.
You know, one of the the questions that we asked when we were in Dallas to all the college coaches was, you know, a lot of families are not, they're just getting acclimated, or athletes just getting acclimated to this slower pace of recruiting. It used to be 8th, 9th grade. We had freshman year, I had to be committed.
No doubt.
So what advice would you give the 2026 to 2027, maybe even 2028 student athletes? What should they be focused on with regard to their, whether it's their skill set development, physicality/strength? What would you recommend to those younger athletes that aspire to play at Butler?
Man, work every chance you get to be as explosive as possible. I think the explosive training and along with the pure strength side, that's going to help. But being explosive, I think that's the piece that comes earlier. I think you can get that earlier. The strength side, even our guys continue to get stronger. And we're not opposed to recruiting a kid who's undersized that is explosive. We just know the strength side is going to come a little bit later. But the explosiveness, the twitch, the ability to move quickly, that is something I would focus on if I was that 8th, 9th, 10th grader with some time right before the recruiting cycle really heats up. And how I do that, man, explosive weight training, sprint work, throwing and trying to throw the ball hard to move your body fast. I think there's a lot of benefit. The game, man, it continues to evolve in such a fun way as far as the athleticism goes. And so I try to be on the front edge of that if I was a young man going through it right now. Because I think that skill set side, keep working on hitting and being a good baseball player. But athletically, man, can we be as explosive as possible all the time?
I can't agree with that. I mean, any more strongly. And I try to convince families and student athletes, being explosive, being efficient with your energy is going to pay dividends as you get older.
No doubt.
I'm sure you get a lot of emails. Maybe you get a lot of DMs or, you know, things like that on social media. What should a student athlete specifically send to you? Should there be a transcript and a video? Should there be a transcript and a description of who they are? What do you and your staff like to see if a student athlete is going to contact you?
I think the video is paramount, especially with how easy it is to do. Man, it seems like everybody has a smartphone or a phone that can do a video of some sort. And so from a video standpoint, I tell guys 5 or 6 swings from the open side, 5 or 6 swings from behind so you can see the ball flight. It can be in a cage. It can be game footage. It can be batting practice. It doesn't have to be fancy. You don't have to pay a ton of money to have it edited. Just a few swings so we can see how the body works, how the bat path is. Again, from open and then from behind. From a defensive standpoint, 5 or 6 balls being fielded where the camera's right in front of you, where you can see close up just the footwork and the gather and the transfer. And then 5 or 6 from behind where you throw and we see the ball flight. If you have access to a football field or a field that has lines on it, run a 60 on there. Because, again, looking for verifiable data as much as possible. And that way on a 60, I can put a stopwatch. If you're a 6.5 runner, I can say, man, that's probably a 6.5 runner. I know the distance. If you're a 7.2 runner, then I can verify you're probably a 7.2. The hard part is if you were to say, I'm a 6.5 runner, but there's no video of you running, then it's tough to verify. But I think within 2 minutes, you can put together a video of 5 or 6 swings from the front or from the open, from behind, 5 or 6 fielding the ball, 5 or 6 with a throw. If you have a radar gun or a pocket radar and you want to put that so you see a velo, that's not a bad thing. It's not as important as just having the video itself, but it does help the verified metrics. If you're a pitcher and you have that, great. And I try to stress this, the amount of kids that we're recruiting, we're not adding guys to the list. Everybody is on the list. We're trying to cross names off as fast as possible and try to find an 8 to 10 recruiting class. And sometimes it's hard to fathom just the numbers. And so real quick, I just talk about it with guys is we've got 4 coaches that can recruit. Assume that we all 4 go to different complexes in the summer. At one field, you're going to see 2 teams at 9 guys on each field. We'll say there's 10. So you're looking at 20 guys a game, and that's without any subs. And let's say we watch 5 games a day, 20 by 5, you're at 100 kids that one coach saw one day just at one field. Well, if we have 4 coaches sitting at one field, you're at 400 guys we saw in one day. We usually are there Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So you're looking at 1,200 kids in a weekend. If you're not in, there's repeats, commits, all of that, I understand, but just a blanket number. We saw 1,200 kids in a weekend. Assume that we recruit 8 weekends in the summer, and all of a sudden you're at 8,000 kids. You're close to 10,000. And that's not including showcases, not including camps, not including seeing more fields, because multiple complexes have multiple fields. But out of 10,000 kids, we're trying to find the right eight. And so, and it is a rude awakening to what real world is like for a 15 to 18 year old kid to be told this isn't the right fit. But we are, we're looking for reasons to cross guys off the list as fast as we can to get to the right guys for us. And when we talk about fit from the recruiting side, if I'm a high school kid, I'm looking for the right fit, because I think that's the buzzword we all hear. I think athletically, academically, socially, financially, location. If you find a school that has all five, then you found your fit. Athletically, is it a school I can play at? Academically, does it have what I want to study at the level I want to study it? Financially, can I afford it, or is it worth it to take loans out to afford it? Socially, is it the size of a school I'm looking for or I'm willing to be at? And the location, is it close or far enough from home where I'm ideal try to be? Odds are you're not going to find a school with all five. You're going to have to sacrifice one of those and figure out, okay, what am I willing to sacrifice to find where I want to be? But for us, we're looking for a similar thing, right? We're looking for fit. So positionally, is it a position that we need? Is it at the athletic level that we desire? Is he academically, is he the student we need? Is he a leader and type of worker that we are going to need in the classroom on the field? Man, so we're trying to find the right fit just like kids are. And so that's the best way for us to do it, is to say, man, any chance we can verify something with our own eyes keeps a guy on the list or crosses them off. For instance, like, we would prefer our outfielders to be sub seven runners. Not to say we won't ever recruit a plus seven outfield runner, but realistically, we've got a very large outfield at our home park. We have to be able to cover ground. And so if a young man says, I'm a 7'5" outfielder, I'll tell you, you're not a fit for Butler as an outfielder right now, but keep working and let us know if you do. But that way that kid knows, okay, I'm not an outfielder for Butler. Athletically, that's not the right fit yet. Maybe I need to keep working, or I need to look somewhere else. And so we try to give feedback like that from our camps, from emails, from videos. But again, going back to what a video looks like, verifiable metrics, it helps us to give feedback and to know, okay, here's where you fit, or, man, you're a priority. We need to see you in game now.
Well, I think it's great that you mentioned these separators, because I always try to convey to the younger student athletes and their parents, coaches are looking for separators. They're looking to remove, not to add. They're looking no to doubt. Kind of condense that list. And then out of that kind of that 20, 30 student athletes, they're trying to focus on the right fit for their program. And I think that's really great to hear directly from a coach. Can you tell us, are there any academic minimums or requirements that might make Butler, maybe not the right fit? Is there a minimum with regard to test scores? Is it test optional? Is there a GPA threshold that a student athlete would probably be best to have before applying to Butler?
Yeah, and there's no absolute, but I can tell you we really struggle if you don't have a 3.0. We really struggle. And so it's not impossible, but you better have some really good test scores to offset it. We're test optional, but the 3.0 is the baseline. But going back to transfer versus high school, we committed a young man who, out of the transfer portal, that was a 3.46 GPA out of his former school that didn't get into Butler. And so it's just one of those things where that's where the transfer portal isn't always ideal, just because you can lose some credits, and Butler being a high academic institution doesn't always take the transfers. And we've had 3.3s not get accepted out of the high school ranks. So we've had that. Now, there are typically, if you get above the 3.0, we start to feel pretty good, but you have to be trending in the right direction. That's what has happened in the past. If you start out strong, that your junior, senior year, your grades dip, Butler looks at it, and they reserve the right to make decisions in that eighth semester of high school. And so wait until the spring to see what are the grades looking like at the end. And so how you're trending, that matters. 3.0s, that's pretty much the minimum we look for, but we also need to be trending in the right direction if you're going to be between that 3 to 3.3 range.
Well, you know, Blake, I want to say thank you so much for sharing with us not only your time, but, you know, your thoughts and your, you know, your opinions as it regards to the Butler University baseball program. I'm genuinely excited to see you somewhere along the way, whether it's Xavier or UConn or somewhere during the 2024 season. And I want to say best of luck to you and your program and anything that either Coach Serrano and I could ever do for you in any capacity. Please feel free to reach out to us. And I encourage parents, this is a tremendous young head coach and staff. And I have been to Butler with both of my boys. It's a beautiful campus located, you know, just outside of Indianapolis, as Coach Beamer alluded to. So if you have the ability to visit the campus, I strongly suggest. And obviously, we're going to put all of the contact information pertaining to Coach Beamer and the baseball program. So make sure if you have a question, reach out directly to Coach, or you can submit it to us and we'll forward it over to Coach Beamer. Blake, thank you so much for your time today.
Coach, thank you. I really appreciate it and look forward to seeing you here soon.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.